This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
I'm Tony Bennett. Before I start, I would like to tell you a short, personal, and true story about Ping.
If imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, Ping's creation of the Ping Answer received more talk than any other golf club in the modern era. Designed in 1966, Carsten used a record album sleeve and covered it with sketches of his answer to people's putting problems. His first putter to use an offset hosel. The name was created with his wife Louise when she suggested it should be called Answer, as it would be the answer to players' putting problems. However, when Carsten tried to fit it on the toe of the club, it was too long. Louise suggested to leave the W out of the spelling, as it would still sound the same and people would understand it meant the same. The name fitted perfectly, and the Answer, spelled A-N-S-E-R, was born. With the introduction of the Answer putter, PGA Tour and LPGA Tour pros embraced his new technology. Ping putter wins piled up, and then the small company of Ping was officially up and running. The Answer went on to become the most used putters for victories in the history of golf and is still the dominant design on every major professional tour.
I caught up with Timo after the second round of the European Championship, which took place in the Troia Resort in Portugal. Timo embodies the values of a team player in what is an individual game. Golf was very much a second sport for Timo, whose first love was field hockey, where he played in the unenviable position of goalkeeper. Throughout this conversation, Timo came across as being a thoughtful man who not only understands himself, but also as someone who sees others for who they are. His life in sports seems to have developed skills which he now puts to great use in his work for a regional sports organisation that sits under the German Sports Federation. Timo explains how his disability, which for most parts of his life is practically invisible, makes the challenge to play golf all the greater. And how? He dedicates himself to meeting that challenge with the help of his coach. After our conversation, Timo went back to preparing himself for a last round charge the following day, which almost resulted in a position on the podium after a scorching round of 1 over par 73 on the very challenging test of Troia. Please enjoy this short but stimulating conversation with Timo Klichen. Timo, good to be with you and good to chat with you. We're here at Troia Golf Club. You're playing the European Individual Championship. But I don't really want to talk to you too much about this championship. I'd sooner talk to you about how you got started in golf and, you know, maybe where you grew up. So could you tell me a little bit about your background, about where you grew up and how you first got involved in golf?
Okay, yeah, Tony, thanks for having me. Well, I come from Dortmund and I grew up in Dortmund. And my background in sports is that I started playing tennis and field hockey, or in Germany we play field and indoor hockey. And I was a goalkeeper, and I think I played it for about 26 years. And well, I learned a lot for life and for sports.
Great. In field hockey, if I understand it, you can only play from one side of the ball. Is that right?
Yes.
At what stage did you start thinking about moving across to play a different sport, golf, in this case?
When I was in America at high school for 1 year, and there I played a lot of tennis. And when I came back, I had an injury on my arm, so I couldn't play tennis anymore. And then my family said, well, your brother, I have a smaller brother, and he had started to play golf the year before. And so as a second sport, my parents said, well, then you can play golf as well. And I tried it.
I'm going to come back to what you felt on that first time that you tried it. But what took you to America in the first place? Not a normal move for somebody from Dortmund to go and study in in the States?
Yeah, my parents thought that it might be good to get out for 1 year, and in Germany it's quite usual, not quite usual, but you can choose to leave school for 1 year and do high school in America or somewhere else with organizations. And this is why, well, we decided that this might be a good thing for me.
From a life perspective, what was it like moving from Germany to the US?
Oh, it was very, very entertaining. It was the biggest experience I had, because my English wasn't good. It was basically school English. So the first couple of weeks were very different. I mean, internet wasn't as it is today. So I called my parents once a week. No WhatsApp, email was just coming up. It was in 1998, 1999.
How old would you been then?
15, 16. Wow. Yeah.
And so then you came back to Germany and you started playing golf. And what was that experience like when you started to play?
Well, I liked it because it was close to field hockey, and we had to work on the swing to get the hockey swing out of my system. And well, I liked the idea of controlling the ball. I wanted to see it fly the way I wanted to fly, and not like you know, it is like a mistake, because I wanted to control the ball. So this is, I liked it from the beginning.
Quite a challenge to change from a short hockey swing to what is now, you've got a very classical type golf swing.
Yeah, I think basically this is the result of work with my coach. You have met him, Duncan Hanak, because he started his coaching career in my club. We just thought about it, I think it was about 18 years ago. And he knows me from the very beginning. And he made up his mind how he could improve my swing. So we worked very hard, and I had lessons once a week, or every week, one hour. And then we tried to fix it on the screen.
So you work quite hard at your golf.
Yeah.
But you were, when you finished high school in the States, you came back, and then what did you do there? Did you continue to study, or did you go to work?
Oh no, I continued to study, finished my school, and then went on to university. And by that time, golf wasn't my first sport. My first sport was field hockey, because I played the third German division. Mm-hmm. So I had to put in some time in practice field hockey, because team sport, you can't leave your teammates down. So golf wasn't as important as it is today. Like, I think I started really playing golf perhaps 10 years ago.
It's quite a big difference between a team sport, which obviously, as you mentioned, field hockey is, and an individual sport. I know you'd played tennis before, but golf is very much an individual sport, except for the occasional time where we come together and we play as a team in things like the Ryder Cup, the Solheim Cup, those kind of things. But generally speaking, it's an individual sport. Did you find that transition easy, difficult? What bits did you miss from the social side of the team? Was the parts of it that you wanted to keep?
Well, I think I've had the luck that the clubs, I've played in two clubs by now, that the clubs always had good teams or a good group which formed a team, and so I didn't miss very much from my time as a hockey player. I mean, the team practice in field hockey is totally different than being in a team in a golf course. But I think I've had luck that there hasn't been a big difference to my time as a hockey player.
And so now you're very much into the golf, you're playing for your club team. And so tell me a little bit about your aspirations in golf now.
I mean, I managed to become club champion last year in my club. So my goals have gone up a little bit, and I didn't even expect to win the club championship. That was kind of a mistake. but my main focus was the tournament this year, and so I've worked very hard to get my back straight, because I had a back injury and my knee, and so, you know, this is all what comes with the paralyzed arm.
Tell me about the paralyzed arm. Tell me, because that was something from birth. So could you tell me a little bit about how it affects you and what it was like growing up with a paralyzed arm? Because clearly in this environment, for sure, everybody just looks at everybody else like, well, that's normal. In the outside part of the world, that's not always the case. And certainly at school, as they say, kids can be cruel. What was it like growing up with the paralyzed arm?
I think at school it wasn't a big problem because my disability isn't that obvious. And I usually, if I'm not in doing sports, I don't wear t-shirts. I only wear long sleeve shirts. So I somehow hide it. And people don't see it straight away. They only see it if they look at me for a longer time. And then because I walk a little bit to the side or something. But at school, I don't think it was a big problem. The first time I had problems that people were being mean with my disability was when we were about to get into second league in field hockey. Because then some players, well, were looking for ways to get the ball into the goal, and they were talking trash to me. Because by that time, we as a team couldn't hide that I had this disability, but still that the other teams didn't manage to get the ball into the goal. And this was the first time where I really woke up and said, ooh, now it's getting serious.
And tell me a little bit, because you said it makes you walk a little bit crooked. So why is that?
Well, because what I have on my arm is a plex. It's called plexus parese. I have my biceps and my delta muscle, which is going over my shoulder, isn't there. Because when I was born, the nerves were cut. And so I have an S-shaped spine. And this is why I walk a little bit to the side.
And how does that affect you in day-to-day life?
Well, I guess my body gets worn out easier. I have pain on my spine sometimes. I had some spine trouble. I had serious problems with a couple of my discs. But I keep on doing what I'm doing.
So how do you manage that? So I guess you have quite a physical routine that you have to keep up.
Oh, yeah.
So what does that routine look like?
Well, I'm trying to be in the fitness studio for at least 3 times a week and trying to work out trying to keep the state as it is. I mean, I had a knee injury last year, which took a very long time, so I couldn't work out. So I had to spend almost the whole winter to work really hard to get back to where I was.
And from a golfing perspective, it has an effect on your game.
Yeah, it does. But since I was born with the disability, I can't tell how it would be otherwise. So, I mean, I can't lift my left arm, right? I can't lift it and keep it up. Yeah. So all the movement comes from my right hand. And this is why we had to work so hard on the video system, mm-hmm. to see and to make me feel where I have to get my right arm, that everything is in place in the swing, in the backswing.
So it's a right-sided golf swing?
Definitely, yes.
Any shots in particular that you find difficult due to your disability?
Well, I can't say. Perhaps because I'm lucky that from all the guys here with a disability on their arm, I have my left hand. So this somehow gives me the chance to really hit the ball hard because I can grip it with two hands. But I don't think that I have problems or specific problems with one shot. I couldn't say it.
What about good advice that you receive? Because Duncan's a PGA qualified mm-hmm. professional. But I'm sure that you've also taken advice from other players or from colleagues that you've been playing with in tournaments. And it might be from Duncan, it might be from one of the other people that you play with. But is there any specific piece of advice that's really helped you as a golfer?
I can't say. I think all the work I've put in with Duncan has really helped me. And I mean, he has developed over the years, so I was able to participate from that or to profit from that.
Benefit.
And this has been a process over the years, so I can't really say what was the best advice.
What about pieces of information that you store? Because we all store information in our brains when we go and play, and we put them in the library that's in our mind. And sometimes we go back to a piece of advice frequently because we start to play badly. And I know myself, I make the same mistakes, more or less the same mistakes today than I made 40 years ago when I was playing. I'm still basically the same swing pattern. It's still basically the same fault. The only difference is that I recognize that fault much quicker today than I used to recognize it 40 years ago. And also I've got more tools to say when I get this problem, I use this tool or this idea or this swing feeling to try and help me get over that problem quicker. Have you got any of those go-to pieces of information or go-to pieces of advice that you sometimes go back to?
Yeah, I think we have talked a lot about routine before I putt or practicing putting. I do the same putting drill like since the last 5 or 6 years. For the last five or six years, I think. And then focusing before the shot, standing behind the ball, and then, you know, these are things that help me doing the same or trying to do this, to do the same thing before approaching the ball.
Now, you've played quite a few Edgar events over the years, and how have you seen the events develop? Has there been any kind of difference between what you saw originally and what you see today?
Well, I've been to Malaga, to Czech Republic, and this year here. And I think that it has become more professional, serious. Because everybody is putting in time and the organization has become more professional. So I think this is the development I really like, which I really like to see.
What would you like to see in, not necessarily your home country, but it could be, if you want to talk about that, that's fine. But what would you like to see for the next stage of development of golf for the disabled?
I think more, I mean, I work in the sports business, so I think a lot about getting kids to do sports. And I think it would be great if there would be more younger people, even at these events. I mean, there are a few, and if you see, Juan is a young guy who is the European champion, but I think there can be more younger people.
And what part of sports do you work in?
Well, I work for a regional sports association that is an under organization of the German Sports Federation. So we are the contact partners for 200 sports clubs in my region.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about money, it's about advice, and all that.
And is golf in that part of the sports?
No, it's not. I don't know. I think golf has a different position in Germany from the rest of the sport.
Yeah, it seems that that's very common. It's not just in Germany. That's very common all over Europe. So What would golf need to do to become attractive, to become part of those kind of sports, do you think? Do you think golf needs to change? Is there another sport, for example, maybe a sport that would be oftentimes considered to be similar to golf, and that's tennis, because it's played individually? I assume that tennis is one of the sports, the 200 sports that you've talked about. 200 sports clubs that you've talked about. So how can we get golf to be part of that?
It's kind of hard to say, because I think most of the time people see the money, which are somehow in the golf clubs, because the money is needed for the course also, and for the clubhouse and for everybody else. So I think this is a big problem, because even the larger organizations in Germany, if they are talking about funding a club, the golf club will be the club which definitely will not get any funds from official organizations, because they seem to have enough money to do it by themselves.
So golf now being an Olympic sport potentially means that it's considered to be a sport now rather than an industry or a game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's a sport. What we are doing here, it's definitely a sport, controlling a ball and being out and doing fitness, everything else. It's all sport, yes.
If you had the opportunity to have a four ball with any other three players, who would you pick and why would you pick them? By the way, you don't need to know that they play golf. It could be anybody in the world. It could be dead or alive. Yeah. I don't even mind, dead or alive, it's fine.
Oh, but I think I'll stick to the sports. I would like to play with Tiger Woods. I think Barack Obama. And Sebastian Kehl, who is a former player from my favorite soccer club or football club, Borussia Dortmund. That would be the three.
What position did he play?
Midfielder. Yes, he now is in the management.
One more question I've got for you. What kind of advice would you give if you could magically be with somebody who had a similar disability to yourself? What would you want to tell them?
Well, we have an organization in Germany which is called Plexus Kinder, Plexus Children. So this is an organization for children and parents where children have the same disability than I have. And I have contact to them, and I said, and I always would give them, the parents, for example, the advice to try things. Put your kids in the sports club, let them try everything they want, let them do sports, because this is what helped me. I mean, my parents had to make a decision when I was young, and they put me into field hockey, and then even in the goal where I have to lift up my arms to catch a ball. And so this helped me develop. So it's always about giving your kids the chance to try everything out.
Well, I really appreciate your thoughts on that, and also your time, because obviously you've just finished playing. You've got another round to go tomorrow. So I really thank you for your time.
I thank you.
If somebody wanted to get hold of you, wanted to reach you, how could they find you?
Well, they could Google my name and then see where I work. Otherwise, they can write me an email. This is no problem. And do you need my email?
If you've got your email and you're prepared to share it, then yes. We'll put it onto the story.
Yes, it's no problem. It's Timo, like my first name and my last name, at msn.com.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Timo,
thank
most appreciated.
Thank you.
This was an Edgar Player story supported by Ping, helping golfers to play their best. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Stay tuned for the next Edgar podcast. Ping. Play your best.